Let's open up our Bibles today to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Today's title is Back to Basics, The Purpose of the Church, Part 1. Now, as I was preparing my sermon lesson for today, I realized that I was getting quite far past the pages that I needed to be, and I didn't want to have to cram everything into one. So next week in Celebration Sunday, we are going to go ahead and work on part 2. Now today's text, it varies. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 here to begin with, but we're going to be in some other chapters as well. So just hold on and we'll get there. Today's synopsis is that we're going to be walking through what Jesus' design was for the church, what the church is to do for its people, and what the people should be doing for the church. Now let's start here in Romans chapter 12. I want us to look at just a few verses given to us by the Apostle Paul. Now I do have a series of questions for both this week and next week to connect us to each thought as we navigate through the purpose of the church. We are going to get through 4 questions this week, and then I'll give you a couple more next week. Starting in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, as one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now these members and this body, who is this text referring to? Who are the members and who are the body? It is the church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now notice that Jesus identifies that this church is his. It is his design to be used for his purposes. Now, who is the rock that Christ is building his church on? It is himself. Now, many people look at this verse and they think it's Peter. But the first part of the verse goes to the previous verse. Any church that is built on man will crumble. The church is built and must be built on Jesus Christ in order to not just survive, but to thrive. And make note of that. That is very important because there are so many churches today that are led by the way that people want them led. And worship is not about God, but about mankind. When we take Christ out of the church, we are building our church on mankind, and it's only a matter of time before it crumbles. And by the way, man cannot forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus can. Man cannot save you from your sins. Only Jesus can. Man cannot prepare a place for you after this life. Only Jesus can. Now be very careful that you never allow your church to be built on mankind, only on Christ. Now back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. The word here for church in the Greek is ecclesia. And it means an assembly together, a gathering of citizens, a called out people. Now, this is not citizens of the United States. This is citizens of heaven. Well, let's consider another passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. And God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now the church is the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of the body. The whole body of Christ are all of the gospel believers that have ever existed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. For by one Spirit, and this is the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now, the church is all believers, and typically when we're talking about this, we are talking about the universal church, or you might say the whole church or the worldwide church. Otherwise, we're talking about the church as in smaller individual churches, often referred to as the local church. Now, the second question that I have for us today is, what is the purpose of the church? Well, for this, let's consider another passage, this one in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Now, this one verse gives us a breakdown of what the purpose of the church is. Here in Acts, we have the first churches coming together and being started by the apostles. Now, what was their purpose? Number one, to study and learn the apostles' doctrine. Now remember, most of the apostles started off as Jesus' disciples. What is this doctrine that they're teaching? It's the New Testament. Now they didn't have the New Testament written in the form like we have today because they were just living it out. It was happening during their time. However, they did have the teachings of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and this is what they taught in the churches. Now number two is fellowship. Now, this fellowship is talked about by the Apostle Paul. He calls it koinonia. This is the Greek word here for fellowship. This is a very deep, close relationship. This is the tight family relationship that we build with each other. We trust each other. We carry each other's burdens, and we care for each other. Number three is the breaking of bread. Now, the early church did meet together a lot, not just on Sundays, but other days to fellowship, to eat together, and to encourage each other. The other breaking of bread that they enjoyed together was communion through Jesus, through the Lord's Supper. And then number four, praying together, and in prayers, here at Acts 2:42. Within their fellowship, they prayed together. They prayed through the many burdens that they faced together every day. Now, you may have heard the phrase, families that pray together stay together. That is not just true for blood relative relationships, but in church families as well. When we are willing to put others first in prayer, we are building an even stronger koinonia relationship with those people. Now, the church is to be a haven for gospel believers, a place where they gather together to worship the Lord and get encouragement for serving in their lives. Now, the church in this context has nothing to do with the building. The church is the group of people that make up the church. The people that are within the church building are actually the church. All right, the third question for us to consider today is, what is the responsibility of the church? What is the responsibility of the church? Well, the church is to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to train others in the scriptures, and it is to help people have a strong foundation in the Lord. Now, the church is never to become a club where you don't really grow, but you just have community and keep coming back for fellowship. Now, community and fellowship is important, but the spiritual growth is vital in order to really connect to the design that Jesus has for the church. Now, one of the biggest pieces of Jesus' design is that we learn and we grow and we are encouraged, and then we go outside of the church building and we teach others about Christ. We encourage others to follow God's truth, and we work to disciple others, to teach them to walk like Christ walked. This is how the church grows. And as you grow, you share Christ with others. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now turn with me for a moment over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me starting in verse 11. It says here, "And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now, looking back at this text, looking specifically at verse 14, which again says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, verse 14 gets to the heart of our teaching. We are to teach the truth of Christ to help you understand it so that you know how to discern the truth from the Scripture yourself and grow to be strong in your faith, so that you don't jump from one thing to another when the culture around you does. Now, we don't just teach the gospel of Jesus Christ within the church. First, we train you to know the gospel so that you can go out and share it with others. But second, we also partner with others who can go into areas that we cannot. Now, remember, Jesus told his disciples, which includes us today, to go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. And if we're only doing that out of this church building, then we're only reaching the city of Campbell. But God calls us to not just teach outside of this church building, but also outside of our homes, outside of our places of business, outside of our communities, and out into the world. Now, we teach everyone who comes through these doors the gospel and how to put it into action so that you can be a witness wherever God has called you to be for his glory. And then we partner with others who can get God's word out even further. Now, Campbell Bible Church has partnered with me personally for the Moments in Truth podcast, which reaches all around the world to bring the gospel of Christ to others and bring better understandings of Scripture. Campbell Bible Church has also partnered with Tracy for the You Are Loved ministry, reaching around the world with the gospel. Now, we've also partnered with other missionaries. For instance, Romeo and Rose Mendoza are missionaries to the Philippines. We offer them financial support and prayer support. They're working to get to the Philippines actually right now. Brother Mendoza came and spoke to us last year. You might have the opportunity of hearing him again this year. But a great couple. They were actually in retirement. I actually was able to sit down with them and get their testimony, their salvation testimony, and also an understanding of where they're going from here and how they're working to get to the Philippines and how God has led them on that path. If you want to look for it in the podcast, it's called A Conversation with Romeo and Rose, and it came out in January of 2025. But a great couple. They were in the period where they're going to retire and basically go live with their grandkids for the rest of their life, and God laid on their heart to spend their time in retirement actually with the Lord in ministry with him. Now, we also support Jonathan and Marjorie Bishop with prayer support. They're missionaries to the people of Yemen. Now, Yemen is a closed country, and they're currently working through a church in Dearborn, Michigan, to the Muslim community. And we have met with Jonathan via video, and he's spoken for us before, and he's also been in the podcast. But good couple, a good family that we're praying for out of Dearborn, Michigan. And then Mark and Susan Nikitin work as church planters. They build churches all around the world. We partner with them for both financial support and prayer support. We get regular letters from them every quarter, giving us an understanding as to what churches that they're helping out with. They're helping out in some Pakistan churches, churches in Romania, many churches they help with all around the world. And then Dan and Debbie Weimer are retired missionaries in Alaska. Now, this church has supported them since they started back in the 80s, I think. Now, even though they are retired, they continue to do the same work, and we support them both financially and through prayer. And then Dan and Peggy Pardini are retired missionaries now serving in Washington State, and we do support them both financially and through prayer. They do many things to help out a church building up the people through discipleship and helping to train even the pastor. And then we partner as well with a pastor in Pakistan that gets kids out of poverty by getting them into his Christian school. Now, this is a newer function. It's just been happening the last couple of years. Basically, a pastor started a Christian school in Pakistan because he was seeing so many kids being forced into labor and not being able to go anywhere to get an education, not being able to even go to church to learn about Christ because they had no money. They just had to go and work at the brick factory making bricks all day. So he started this Christian school and was able to pay for the way for a few kids to be able to come and then start reaching out to other churches to help. And then the missionary group that the Nikitins are with got on board and has been getting churches around the U.S. to be able to help out. And we as well support one boy and one girl. And we don't have all the information on that quite yet. We do have a representative coming in either in February or March of this year to give us an update and to let us know who it is that we're supporting. So we're excited about that, to be able to see one boy and one girl come to know the Lord and to be able to get them off the streets of Pakistan. Now, by partnering with others, we extend the reach of the gospel. And we also extend our CBC family, and we have the opportunity to pray for these other family members as they work to continue to help others see Jesus. Now, the fourth question for us to consider is, how does the church go about teaching and training disciples? Well, if we look at the history of the church, we see the New Testament believers meeting for worship on Sundays and then fellowshipping that day and meeting other times or visiting each other during the week to pray and encourage each other. Now, fast forward to the classic European churches, and you'll see one time that they met. They met on Sundays for worship. Now, there were some other meetings for choir practice and such, and during the week, the pastor would visit with people in their homes. Now, the early American church was patterned off of the European, and they as well only had one time that they met, which was Sunday mornings for worship. Now, in 1780, something was started in Europe called Sunday school. Now, there was a Sunday school society that became popular, and kids were invited to church an hour before the worship service, and they were taught scripture. And kids would learn and apply those truths to their lives, and then you would see the whole family change for God. Now, really what was going on here is that kids didn't know how to read. So the Sunday School Society decided that if they invited kids in, they would teach them to read, and they would use the textbook of the Bible. And as kids came and they wanted to learn to read, they would learn to read the Bible, and then they would learn about the Bible, and then they would start applying the Bible to their lives. And it just saw a great change of that happening in kids' lives and other parents coming to know the Lord. Now, fast forward to the 1820s, and you see the Sunday school movement coming to America to help reach the children as well. Now, by the 1900s, churches started to offer more than one service, a midweek service specifically for prayer. So you typically have that on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night or a Thursday night. And throughout the 1900s, there became an explosion of other opportunities for gatherings, Bible studies, discipleship, and fellowship. Now, we teach and train through the many resources that we offer through the church. On Sundays, we have our hour of prayer. We begin at 10 a.m. every Sunday, where we talk about an element of prayer and then how to implement it into our lives and even practice praying. We have our Sunday worship time where we get into the scripture together to worship the Lord and also have time of singing, time of reading scripture, and time of prayer. And then family Bible study, which is an open time for discussion and looking at our culture today and what the Bible has to say about it. Now, weekly, we have a Bible connection. On Wednesdays at 7 p.m., we meet digitally to walk through a chapter or two of the Bible, just reading and digging into the text. It's a great open forum to hear the perspectives of each other as we discuss the text. And then Monday through Friday, both the men and the ladies get an encouraging text in their smartphone message. And then Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we have the Moments in Truth podcast for anyone that would like some more information on the Bible. Now, once a month, we have our Truth Seeker study on the first Sunday of each month in the evening time. And that's here to help you build a very strong foundation in Christ. And then we also offer the Faith Race, Discipleship, really Memorization Challenge. It's not just a challenge for you individually. You can also grab someone else and say, hey, I challenge you through the Faith Race. Let's do it together and see how much of God's Word that we can read and study and memorize. We also have personal discipleship. We have counseling that we can do with you. Book studies, fireside chats, and other encouragement meals, like the encouragement breakfast that we had for the men not too long ago. We have some more of those coming up this year. Now, these are all resources that you have available to you through Campbell Bible Church. Now, they're all here to help you, to strengthen your walk with Christ, and to help you grow into the person that God wants you to be. Now, every church provides resources, and sometimes they work well, other times they don't, or they're too much for everyone to be a part of. Now, when I was growing up, the church that I attended had something almost every day. As the church grew, Sundays spilled over, and there were Bible studies for every age, there were outreach ministries and activities that ran throughout the week. Today, I would not want to be a part of that church because it's just too busy. And in the busyness of ministry, we can lose touch with the reason that we have the ministry in the first place. Now, even in our ministry today, we want to make sure that we have enough for all of you, but not too much. We're actually going to be making some changes this year with our different resources. We're going to back off a little bit on the Monday through Friday text that we send to everyone. And the reason for that is because you are going to have plenty of resources for that already in your Truth Seekers information that you're going to be getting here at the first of each month. We want to make sure that we're not layering too much on top of you so you feel like, man, I'm never going to be able to get all of this accomplished, or I'm never going to be able to read all the things that are before me. Because sometimes too much encouragement can become a burden, and we want to make sure it's not a burden for you. So I'm going to be finishing off the text that we're working on. The ladies are in 1 Peter right now, and I'm going to finish the 1 Peter text with them. The men are in Psalms 119. I'm going to finish that text with you guys. And then we're going to have a pause and a break from it for a little bit before we get into 2 Peter. Now, we're also going to be making a little bit of a change. We're going to be backing down from family Bible study for a time. So we still have Truth Seekers at the very first Sunday of the month in the evening time. But we're not going to be having family Bible study for a time. We're going to back off from that for the rest of the month. And that allows you to have more family time with your family. It also allows you to have more fellowship opportunities to be able to fellowship with each other on Sunday. Sundays are a great time to get together with other Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord and enjoy time together, fellowship, even dig into the word a little bit together, encourage each other. It's a good time to spend with each other. Now, many of the resources that the church provides changes over time, depending on the people and opportunities that we have. Now, we may have more children at some point, opening the need for a children's ministry, or even teenagers, creating a need for a teen ministry. And then we may find ourselves having different kind of outreach ministries, depending on how God leads and the doors that are open to us. Now, I have a few more questions, but I'm going to hold on to those for next week. In closing, let me just give you a piece of instruction that would greatly enhance this ministry, that as it is present, it should never die out. Now, I've been in a lot of churches over the years, and there is one piece that I have seen work, but that is honestly rare in churches today, and that is genuine care and love for each other. Now, Jesus spoke about this in John 13. He said in verses 34 through 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, we live in a world today that loves itself. People are very prideful. They're all about them. It's what they want most. It's what they see most. It's what they like most. It's what it's about, all of their expectations. People's greatest concern is themselves. In some cases, they don't know what it means to really love others. But God teaches us through His Word what it looks like and how to implement it. And we need to love and care for every person that comes through these doors. And we need to be a beacon of love to the community around us. That love and care and devotion to help others can never die. Because when it does, the church becomes a cold place. A place that doesn't share the light of Christ. A place where people don't walk in and are comfortable. A place that people don't even want to go near. And it's terrible when a church becomes like that. I don't want to see that for Campbell Bible Church. We see false teachers leading churches today, and I don't just mean entertainment churches or these big power churches that have thousands and thousands of people. Even small churches can have false teachers leading them. And I want us to have a strong, God-centered, Bible-centered church. But that choice does not just land on my shoulders. It's on all of yours. It makes a difference how you treat those coming through these doors. First impressions are important. We may only get one. There have been many times that Campbell Bible Church has only had one impression for someone. And sometimes people say, you know what? I like what I have to see. People are making me feel comfortable. I love this place. I want to come back. And there are other times where we never see people again. And we wonder, was it the first impression or were they looking for something different? Now, I could say don't worry about it. You've all been very welcoming to people that I've seen come through because you have. And I'm not saying these things this morning because of a major problem I see here. It's because of a major problem that I see in other places. And we can become complacent over time about these things. I want to make sure that we remember that we're here to worship God. We're here to get encouragement, but we're also here to be a light to the lost and to be that encouragement to others. Now, Jesus designed His church with a purpose, and that purpose is to help and to love others. Let me ask you this. How are you helping and loving others through CBC today? How are you putting others first in your life, or others more important than you today. Let me pray for you. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for your tremendous love. I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to come to this earth to teach us and to train us to be disciples of you. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus' passion to give up everything and to die on the cross for our sins, shedding his blood on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven and so that we can live with him and with you forever in a place of eternity called heaven. Lord God, I just thank you for your tremendous love and care for our lives. I pray that we would be humble people. Help us to take our eyes off of ourselves and stop looking at what we want most and blaming all of our problems on other people. Help us to instead look to you. Focus on you. Put our whole understanding on you. And pray that others would think on you as well, would align with you in the same way. And Lord, as we align with you together, we know that we will grow stronger in you. And we understand that we will learn to love you so much more. Lord God, help us to be humble people. Help us to be loving to those in the world and understanding. Help us not to just have empathy, but love, real, godly love. Help us to put the needs of others before our own. And Lord, I pray that as a church, that we would grow together, that we would encourage each other, and that we would continue to be the light of Christ to others throughout the world. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.